L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Another week, another podcast. Welcome to Ladies of Liverpool, sponsored by the Orthodontic Practice on Rodney Street, changing people's lives. You know directly from me how it changed my family's life. So if you've been told no to any kind of corrective issues, things that you know you'd love to change when it comes to dentistry, but you've been to see your dentist and your dentist says, no, we can't do that. Speak to Dr. Sharper. She can do it. She works miracles. Trust me, she is there. Go get a second opinion at the Orthodontic Practice. You won't regret it. So there's my advice for you, wherever you're listening all across the world, you're tuning in, particularly to the holiday lot who are enjoying the summer holidays. If you're abroad and you're getting your little piece of home from us, thank you for listening. Share the message, spread the word. It is Ladies of Liverpool. And today I've got with me two very special guests. I've got Jay and Nikki. Now, I met these two recently when I opened up a coffee shop with a difference. We're going to talk about the changes they're making within our community and how they're doing it. It's another great story of how when we hit a brick wall in life, sometimes you've got to dig deep. You've got to surround yourself with good people and make changes happen yourself. If you've been told no, for whatever reason, this is a story of how that no can be turned into an absolute yes. Jay, talk to me about, you've got these coffee shops.
We have.
And they're wonderful. And they do the best doggy biscuits. Did you bring some?
I've totally forgot.
Oh,
I totally forgot. I'm so sorry.
Dog won't eat anything unless it's off a silver spoon. He's spoilt rotten. Your dog biscuits. Gathering Grays. If you're passing, please pop in and just treat your dog to these homemade, on site.
All homemade, not on site.
Oh, okay.
But they're all very much homemade, using only fresh ingredients.
Yeah.
Only good ingredients for the doggy. Yeah. So we believe in feeding people well, but feed our pets well. You know, you love them enough to be taking them out to the beach.
They're our support, aren't they?
They're our support animals.
And that is your backbone of everything you do about supporting people. So
it is.
The money that comes into the likes of Gathering Grays, which is, of course, give the address out so anyone knows that they can pop in whenever they like.
It is Gathering Grays, number 32 Banks Road, West Kirby.
And then you've got one in Wallasey.
We've got one in Wallasey in Victoria Central Hospital. So that's like a coffee nook, a coffee corner.
Mm-hmm.
That one's more of a quick grab and go.
But where does this money go? Because this is what makes you and your coffee shops different.
So this money goes to many, many different areas of recovery. Nightingales specialise in recovery, those that are trying to recover through drugs, through alcohol. But we're not just limited to that. We also cover people that are homeless, people who are just looking for support, some people that are just looking to break that loneliness. So we could say that we focus on recovery, but we don't. It's everything else that wraps around that.
Yeah. Nothing's just one problem in life, is it?
No.
This is what's dead interesting. I think we all try and pigeonhole things. That's where that fits. That's where that lives. That's because of that. And that's the cure for that. That's not life. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm realising.
Same here. You know, I'm still learning every day.
It's so important.
It is.
How did you get involved in this then, Jay? Where did it come from?
I got involved in this about a year and a half ago, but I'm not the founding director for the company. Our founding director is our Nikki. Mm. So Nikki literally started at grassroots. A large company that she works for, they then started to spot gaps in the market. So one of the gaps in the market they spotted is The people are hungry on the Wirral, you know, people that aren't getting fed. So Nikki straight away decided she was going to take on Nightingale. She was going to take on the responsibility of taking on Nightingale's Hub Cafe. Mm-hmm. So through that cafe, it not only can we feed people day to day at a really affordable price, because people are coming to us, you can imagine they've already spent the money on something else. So if we can make it as affordable and as attractive to them as possible, we can possibly try and get some extra fruits and vegetables into people. Because going through recovery, it takes everything out of you.
Yeah.
So because of that, it meant that we could open the doors twice a week. So on a Tuesday and a Thursday, from 5 till 7, we feed well over 100 a night now. When they come into us, they'll get a hot meal. They get a bag of snacks. So that'll be like fruits, crisps, chocolate bars, and a bottle of water and a soup. So what we do is what, back in the day, everyone called a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Yes, we provide the soup, but we now provide everything else. Easy. Good, stable, solid, fresh, healthy meal.
It's concerning, isn't it, that in 2026 we're relying on you and Nikki's
it's
to feed, you say, like a soup kitchen. It's like we're going back to the Victorian days. How have we ended up here? What's going on?
Well, when you say like Victorian days, you would think, you know, with the poor Victorians, you know, the no clothes, the holes in shoes.
We're seeing that in the schools.
We're seeing that in schools, you know, but it's the bit that you're not seeing. Mm-hmm. It's people, people say, oh, Jay, but you feed the homeless. We don't. We feed the hungry.
Yeah.
So anyone with an empty belly comes to our door. We will feed them.
And these can be working people.
These are people getting off the bus,
yeah,
wearing a suit and coming to the door,
oh,
and asking for a meal.
People can't afford to live.
People can't afford to live. They've got enough to get that suit on and just about pay for that bus fare, mm-hmm, to get to that minimum wage job. But then after that,
coming home, they can't turn the lights on. They can't use their oven.
No.
I've dealt with people, you know, with other charities, Cash for Kids, with the kids. And you've got kids going to school in the mum's shoes that don't fit.
Exactly.
Or the dad's coat, because they can't afford the things we always thought were basics. A warm coat, a pair of shoes to go to school. And they're coming home and they can't use the microwave.
Exactly.
Because they've got no electric.
Exactly that. So and if you've got an empty belly, you get fed with us. It's simple as that.
An addiction.
Throwing an addiction on top, that just, that's this ball, let's keep rolling.
And like I always say, this could be anyone. We don't judge you because you don't know where your life's taking you. And I speak to everyone listening to this now. You might sit there and think, well, that would never be me. Trust me, I've heard that so many times.
Addiction doesn't hit a demographic. It doesn't care who it chooses. It really doesn't. That you'll go into, because the world is very divided between rich and poor. But I'm sorry, it's the same problem, just in a bigger house sometimes, that it doesn't care who it grabs hold of. And it can be addiction through accidental addiction, so through medication with the doctors, not realising. Or it can be out of choice, just going out there and picking up a bag of heroin.
Yeah.
That, as I said, it doesn't care who it picks. And the sad thing is it picks some people that didn't even realise they were falling into addiction, because the education's not there. And again, that's what Nightingale's tried to provide. We try to provide the education around drugs and alcohol. And so a company we work with, TGL, they've got a very particular department now that only work with doctors and nurses to try stopping the overprescribing that's happening at the moment.
See, I thought this was just America, the opioids.
No, it's on our doorstep, Leanne.
Oh, okay. Scary. So we've all seen what's happened in the States.
We have.
Prescription painkillers.
Yeah,
and
very
that's
much
a big issue here.
Yes.
Oh, tell me more about that, Jen.
Ketamine seems to be our biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say ketamine, I mean children as young as 11,
yes,
12.
So we had a lady on the podcast who set up a company. She was doing a treatment for pelvic floor, which she thought was going to be women who've just had babies to help strengthen the bladder and the pelvis, yeah, and all that. She said she was inundated with messages from mums and concerned parents, mums and dads, trying to book their kids in for any treatment she could provide because they can't hold themselves. They can't go to school because they can't hold the bladders.
Common side effect is double incontinence. And unfortunately, on a day-to-day business, we literally see this. We have to deal with this.
With children?
With children and adults.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So Nightingale's we're trying to rally together as fast as we can to put together a support group for underage children. So I know that the Alder Hey have particularly done it in Liverpool. They created a whole ward to be able to support, but there's nothing on the Wirral. So that's why Nightingales, again, we're trying to fight, we're trying to wrap around this situation that is literally eating our doorstep. It's eating the children.
Yeah.
The amount of children, it's scary. I heard about it in my own son's school, that the kids are taking drugs. But then I look at my 14-year-old, I think that's not possible. That's not possible. And then an 11-year-old walks in. How we got ourselves into this situation.
You've got control of your kids until the friends have got control of their life.
They get older.
You can't always choose your kids' friends and the circles they mix in. And it just takes for one of them to have access. And you hope you've brought your kids up to be able to say no. But look, we don't know. We don't know if this is going to affect us. So while it's not, if you're unaffected right now and listening to this podcast, count yourself very lucky.
Very lucky.
And ask yourself, can you help in any way? Even if it's just passing in, getting a coffee. Oh, we'll pass there. Do you know what? I'll stop going to Costa. No offence to the Costa. I'll go and get the coffee because I know the money's going somewhere.
Definitely. And because that money's going somewhere, you would assume that we'll cut back on ingredients and stuff. We only buy the best quality. Mm-hmm. If we're going to try and nourish someone and put some vitamins back into bodies and give their bodies what they need to be able to recover, we make sure that the best ingredients are there. And we almost sell it at cost.
Yeah.
So we never created that one to make money. We created that one because normally if you want to get support or you want to get an assessment because you're thinking, right, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling with addiction or from anything, normally you would have to walk into a very clinical white room, big bright white lights, and you get judged. As soon as you walk in there, it's like walking in the doctors, everyone's staring at you, aren't you? So with us, it's almost like it was a screen that was put up. It was put up by Nikki herself to make sure that it was more of a casual walk-in, can I get an assessment? Let's sit down and have a coffee in a coffee shop rather than walking to the doctor's surgery.
So, Nikki, this was something you saw a need for originally. And how did it begin for you?
So, as Jay said, I was working for the local drug and alcohol service. And before the tenders changed, the contracts changed, there was originally a small cafe there, but it got shut down. And a lot of the service users, we call people service users, were going to commissioners and going to the drug and alcohol service and said, we want a safe place back. We want somewhere where we can meet. We want somewhere where we can, you know, eat. Just a safe place for people who were trying to recover or who were trying to at least look at working on their addiction. So it came up and it was like, yeah, I'll have a go.
It started with like a little Buffy your butties, didn't it, that you made yourself?
So basically we had the smallest kitchen in the world. It was like a bit like a coffee, just a coffee and cake kitchen.
Yeah.
And we started off with butties, not one pence, butties for 50p, bacon butties for 50p, and cups of instant tea and coffee for 50p. And then everything that we were making was going back in. So what we were doing is providing what's called a psychologically informed environment. So people were seeing that people can have a safe place, people can have somewhere to recover. And we were feeding the homeless straight away, but they used to come in on a different day and sit in. That kind of changed in COVID. But when you talk about psychologically informed environment, that's what you want, is like somebody who's homeless in the same place as somebody who's recovering, so they can see there's hope. They can see there's a way out, because a lot of people take drugs, want to come off drugs, but or alcohol, whichever the substance, but don't know how, and don't know there's a place that can support you in that how. So then it just started growing legs, and like it was just getting busier and busier, and everybody, I mean, the amount of people from when we started that have said, this place has saved my life, just because it's somewhere where they can go all day. We've took people out, so the reintegration of getting people back into general population, back into understanding that you can have good adult fun without drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. So that was also paying for them to go on normal trips out, that you just to go with your mum or you take your kids or whatever. And all that what people have either never done or haven't done for many years, and trying to just reintegrate people back into life.
It's breaking that cycle, isn't it?
Breaking the cycle.
Get up, I do what I'm doing, the rest of the day is gone.
Yeah.
Then I'm thinking about it until I can do the substance again. It's breaking that cycle. And those trips and that safe place seems like it's playing a huge part.
Yeah, and there's a lot of well-being stuff that goes on now. There's like lots of different support groups, a lot of well-being activities. We've got a gym now. In fact, we're part of another gym, as well as having the two cafes. So it, and we've now got an art therapist, which is supporting the kids with ketamine, or the young adults with ketamine. So people who really struggle to communicate can communicate and try and get well through art therapy.
What's the difference between dealing with the adults and the young people? Because I imagine there's a whole different plan, or am I wrong? Is it exactly the same thing for grown-ups and young people?
No, it's quite different.
The brains work differently, don't they? And the brain obligations works. Are different, and the priorities.
Absolutely, and the frontal lobe's not developed.
Of course, the science as well, yeah.
Yeah, so trying to get somebody who's probably under 21 to understand the reasoning behind what they're doing, that they've got their addiction is causing physical health problems that I've never seen in my life. I've been a drug worker for a long time, and I've watched people with heroin problems, I've watched people with stimulant problems, alcohol problems, and their physical health problems seem to come further down the line, or the mental health problems develop if they haven't already had mental health problems first. But ketamine is... I'm seeing people now within a year of use that the bladder has gone, the bowels have gone, the kidneys are going, livers are going. You know, we're looking at multi-organ failure. And it's just, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And that's why we've got the art therapist as part of a ketamine pathway.
Is it the kids that are coming to you, the young people, or is it the parents? Because I'm sitting here as a mum thinking... This is like a horror film. This is my worst case scenario, something like this. You've loved them all alive. You want the best for them. They start growing up just a little bit. They're in high school, and this is on offer as cheap as a packet of sweets.
It's pocket money. It's like people are clubbing together. It's that cheap. And it's that cheap for a large amount as well. So, but parents are just distraught, not understanding addiction, but also not understanding the pain that these children or young adults are in. So we're kind of supporting the person with their addiction, but we're also supporting the parent who suddenly become a carer. Because, you know, some of them can't get out the bath, they're screaming in pain. I had one parent tell me when I was asking her to describe the pain, was it sounded like her daughter was in labour constantly, the screaming out of her when she was in the bath with the pain. Yeah,
it's... And what is that? That's the kidneys and the liver?
The bladder and the kidneys and the bowels. And so the ketamine...
And they've just lost all use of it. They sat in the bath.
Yeah.
And they're screaming in pain.
Yeah.
And then they're arriving, I imagine, in hospital, and you can't really reverse it, can you, from what I'm reading?
Yeah, it's a lot of
this is a lifelong
is irreversible. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by other substances, it take a long time for you to get irreversible physical health problems or mental health problems, but this is something else.
So this is what you're doing now, your side of the water. My side of the water, we might have older hay.
Yeah.
But what you're offering is something very different.
Yeah. And we get people from all over the country coming to visit us. Mm-hmm. We've been on the BBC doing the Road to Recovery and Addiction. They followed us for a year. We had Dame Cavill Black, who did the drug strategy, come to visit us. We've just recently had the King's Lord Lieutenant come to visit us, looking at, you know, what we do for the community, and the fact that we're not always like cap in hand, asking the commissioners for money. We're kind of trying our own ways to make what we're doing sustainable.
There are so many charities at the moment. I mean, just my inbox alone for Ladies Liverpool is people setting up charities every day of the week because the help's not there, the funding's not there. But there's only so much that the public can actually do. So what you're doing, you're not just, like you say, asking, just donate a load of money. You're going, well, we'll take the hit in the coffee shops, but just come in and buy a coffee.
Yeah.
Buy the dog a treat. If you haven't got time to sit down and have a jack and potato for an afternoon, come and grab something off the shelf for a quid. And we'll make sure that pound goes to local families, the local community, to what is making a difference. What is the success rate of the people that you're in contact with?
To be fair, we've got a really good success rate. It's about 60% of people manage to turn their lives around.
That's impressive.
And that's impressive. Because if you look at people who go residential, that's about 49-50%.
Yeah.
So to the fact that we're kind of...
That is unbelievable. Well done,
I know. And it's...
Because who's got the money for that? Have you seen the prices for someone to go to rehab?
And there's very little rehab funds.
And if you go on a waiting list to try and do it through your GP, it's forever and a day. You can't get an appointment for 2 weeks if you've got bloody... You need antibiotics, you know?
One of our other directors says, we're getting people better than well. In a place they got sick, they're now getting well.
Oh, that's really powerful.
Yeah. So that I mean, I love that he says that, and that's why I tell everybody, because I really, really love it. And that's basically what we're trying to do. We're trying to show people there's another way out. There's another way of life. There's a safe place to be. And please come and support in any way you can, even if it's just buying a bottle of water, it all goes back in.
It's outstanding what you're doing. Well done to you and everyone involved. You, Jay, all of the team. And for everyone listening right now, you've got a job to do as well. Don't just sit there listening and go, oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that nice? Go and get yourself, like Inky says, a bottle of water, cup of tea, grab something for the kids, a little cake on the school run if you're passing. Where can they go and how can they help? The coffee shops we'll start with.
So the coffee shops, obviously there's the coffee shop in Banks Road. You can go and discreetly just ask our staff if you wanted an assessment for the drug and alcohol service, because we work in a partnership. It's the same in VCH, which is called Victoria Central Hospital. All the staff, as well as in Nightingales itself, I mean, a lot of our chefs are recovery champions. So they've come through the service and now work for us.
So it's a safe place in the sense that I'm thinking of it as from my point of view, if I was walking past, how can I help? But you're shining a light on. There's no judgment. You can ask the guy who hands you your bacon butty. How do I get help?
And how do I get
help? Deal with it and make sure you go in the right direction.
Yeah. So it's as simple as that. Just come in, just have a chat. It's so welcoming. And it's like, we call it the beating heart of the community, Nightingales. It's like a beacon of hope. And it is very, very well known. So get yourself down, because the Nightingales itself, apart from the other two cafes, are not just for people with addiction issues or people in recovery. General, I've got builders in there. I've got the call centre over the road. You know, everyone can come in, have something to eat with affordable, fresh, nutritious food.
Love it. Do you have a website?
Yeah.
Go on, what's the website? You're looking at Jay. Jay, do you know the website, babe?
The website is nightingalesrecovery.co.uk.
There you go.
There you go.
Nightingalesrecovery.co.uk. We got there in the end, team. Show your support. Go ask for help if you need help. Don't put it off another day. Get yourself there. The team are ready for you. They're waiting for you and they care. You're not alone. Thank you so much.
While I'm here, just one last thing that we really could ask for help for, that everything we've got, we put into our venues to be able to support the local community, to make as much as we can. So unfortunately, with Gather and Graze, it's the most beautiful venue you've ever seen. We really did make sure it was beautiful.
Oh, it's a little like
art gallery.
It's an art gallery as well. So it's half coffee shop, half gallery.
It's beautiful.
So we push local artists and things. Mm. So they go on a residency with us. And the art that's in there is for sale.
Gorgeous.
As well. So, and again, all of that goes into who we are. But we did run out of money when it came to our courtyards.
And that
beautiful courtyard, massive
lovely
space.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. We just never expected to find issues in the courtyards and things, which we did, which is a normal build issue. So what we are doing, we're doing a garden SOS appeal. We're doing a GoFundMe to see if people around us that care for what we're doing and want to be able to support us, that we can get that courtyard on its feet, get its tables and chairs, get the floor fixed. So that space itself, that we can offer so much more. Yes, it's lovely to sit outside in the sun in West Kirby, but we want to put on yoga classes. We want to be able to put Reiki on out there. And that this will all be ticketed. So again, it goes back into the recovery, that it's supporting the mental health of people in West Kirby as well. Imagine doing a lovely yoga session out there.
Right by the beach as well.
Right by the beach. And then you can have something to eat with us. So,
yeah.
But we can also do the summer barbecues.
Yeah.
You know, ticketed for that. But that's holding us back. We can't be able to do these ticketed events without having the courtyard on its seat.
So have you got the GoFundMe page up and running?
We have indeed.
Lovely. Do you want to say it? And I will make sure it's in our bio. So if you listen to this, find Ladies of Liverpool. It'll be in the bio for you to click and donate directly.
It's going to be Gathering Grace Garden SOS. So if you search that under the GoFundMe, but you will also find it on Nightingale's Recovery Facebook page and our Instagram page.
Brilliant. If you listen to this on any of my channels, of course, I will be sharing that link. You won't be able to miss it.
Amazing.
But so on Gathering Grays and Nightingales. Jay, Nikki, round of applause to the pair of you. Give yourselves a round of applause. What a gang of humans. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.